because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I don't deposit and reaping what I don't sow. Why then can you just at least put it in the bank so at least it can get interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. Haters. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Did y'all catch that? So for those who already have, he says, the possibility of it being taken away. But verse 27, as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, I'm going to get you. That's the Steve Bell version. Bring them here and slaughter them before me. If you'll just kind of jot down for your note, we're just going to talk from the thought, do all you can. Do all you can. Tell your neighbor, do all you can. As we stated, and I want to keep reiterating this because, again, I don't want us to misunderstand that when we talk about money, that it's just about money. The way we look at money reveals how we really look at God, or rather not look at God. One of the things we have to be very careful of is that we don't want to allow anything to take our attention away from God, okay? We already have to deal with a lot of things in this world already that want to distract us and disrupt us from engaging God and encountering his presence. What we don't want to do is add more things to get in the way of getting to God. Oh, okay, y'all left me. There's already going to be enough things that's going to get in the way of us pursuing God. Let us not put anything else in our way on purpose. Because as we said before, that sometimes we can be our own worst enemy if we're not careful about what we are pursuing. So if I'm pursuing money more than anything else, then money can trip me up in my pursuit of God. And I don't know about you, but I want all of God. And I don't need to miss anything about God so that God can be all that God can be to me. Okay? And so as we pursue God, we want to make sure we're not missing God. I remember a good friend of mine, Chuck, he talked about there's a difference between missing God and moving towards God. He says the idea of missing God is that there's other things that have your attention more than God. Write this down. Mark chapter 8, verse 27 through 33. He shows us how easy it is to miss God. Watch this. He tells us that when Jesus was with his disciples, he asked them a very clear question, who do you say I am? This is when they're moved by God. This is when they're in step with God. He says, you are the Christ. Because at that moment, they were walking with God. They were moved by God. They weren't distracted by other things, and they were able to see him for who God really is. Okay? But if you scoot a little further down the story, Jesus begins to tell them his mission. His mission involves him, watch this, giving his life and dying. Now remember, they were moved by God. They saw him for who he was. In this moment, Peter, I love Peter. Peter steps up and he says it with all, you know, authority in his chest. He says, I rebuke you, Jesus. In one moment, he was able to see God for who he was. And in this moment, because it didn't line up with his priorities and his preferences, he now missed God. Are y'all tracking with me? Just that fast. If you get out of step with God, you'll start missing God. And so that means there must be a daily practice of walking in step with God, because if you're not careful, you will fall away and miss him just like. In that moment, he was very spiritual. I see you as the Messiah. But when his preferences and priorities were challenged, I rebuke you. Because sometimes the things that God calls us to do will challenge us. It will make us uncomfortable. And that's not when we need to start rebuking Jesus. Okay. All right. Okay. Look, can I be human for a moment? All right. Okay, y'all didn't say okay, so I'm not going to be human for a moment. Can I be human for a moment? Y'all not going to judge me. I remember I was, you know, trying to be very spiritual and very, you know, very deep. And I said, Lord, I want you to enlarge my territory. This is before I was married. Enlarge my territory so that when, as I have been blessed, I want to be a blessing to other people. I want to be able to give away money, not even miss it. I'm spiritual. I see Jesus now. Until I got the phone call. My brother calls. He says, hey, I'm in a situation. And it may have been like 24 hours, if that. I mean, it was not long after I said amen. I got the phone call. And he said, I'm thinking, you know, I prayed this prayer. I should have expected it. And I'm thinking like $20, $50. Maybe 100, if I'm really spiritual. But he made his request known. He said, I need 500. That's what I said. Ooh, let me. Because sometimes in walking with God, there will be times he will make us uncomfortable to find out what's really in us. Because I can pray that prayer all I want until the moment comes where I now have to perform what I've been praying about. So we have to be careful in the things we pray for, okay? And just like Peter, we can miss God by being focused on what we want more than how we can use what we have to help other people. Oh, it's going to get quiet right through here. And so it teaches a couple things real quick. The first thing you need to write down is that it's easy to miss God. It's that simple. And I want to ask this question, and I want you to be seriously engaged in this. How many times have you missed God's promptings? At least one time. More than one time. You can lift two hands and a foot if you need to. Because if we are truthful about where we are, sometimes we are so self-absorbed with what's going on in our own world that we miss being used by God because we're focused on me, mine, and I. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So he says, I see you in one moment, but then I miss you. And this is not the first time in history. Throughout the history, people have missed God. So don't get twisted because you missed God this time. The person sitting next to you that's saying hallelujah, praise the Lord, may have missed him too. So let me tell you, don't beat yourself up when you miss God. Okay? Because here's the beauty, and I want you to pay attention to this. Here's the beauty. God doesn't give up on you just because you missed him one time. You see, sometimes we project onto God how we behave. So if people mess over us, then guess what? We dismiss them. You ain't got to say, man, I know how we do. We go on Facebook, we unfriend people. We block people out of our phones. Why? Because they messed over us. God is not like that. God doesn't operate. So even if we miss, he still loves us. If we miss, he's still gracious. If we miss, he's still kind to us. And he gives us another opportunity over and over and over again because he loves us. And he's not going to, watch this, and he's not going to stop giving to you because you missed him. God will continue to give to you what you need when you need it because he is faithful. He is faithful. In Acts chapter 7, verse 51, this is how accurate this thing is. It's not just a thing that happened then. This is a thing that keeps on happening. Acts chapter 7, yes, baby, run them aisles. They say, we're talking about money. Money cometh now. So the deacon Stephen realizes that the people have been missing God. And this is what he says to them. He says, y'all missed the fact that God sent his son, that his son died for us, and he rose again. He says, y'all missed that. Why? He says, because you're stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit. That's not just true for them then, it's true for us now. Because if we're not conscious, then we too will resist the Holy Spirit. And I want you to pay attention. And that's a conscious decision. Woo! I know, baby. We make a decision to ignore the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is always working in us. They just running track. Don't worry about them. They preparing. Got her shoes off and everything. That's my kind of friend. She must be from Arkansas, just Amy. All right. But here's the second thing. So, yes, we can easily miss God, but then the second thing, too, watch this. We have been given the freedom to resist the Spirit. I want you to catch that. God has given us this beautiful thing called free will. God has given us choice. Therefore, we have the power to resist the Holy Spirit. Okay? So don't miss it. Come on, baby. That's all right. I used to be a youth pastor. Amen. I'm very used to this. Amen. So watch this. Don't be like me. Don't get ADHD on me. Let's stay engaged. Squirrel. Stay with me. But what these truths does for us, it should motivate us to not want to miss God. Because we know it's easy. We know we have the power to choose, but we must not restrict the Holy Spirit moving in our life. Our prayer should be, Holy Spirit, would you have your way in my life? Meaning that you want to release the power of the Holy Spirit to move in and through your life, to grip your attention, to convict you, to guide you, to order your steps. You want the release of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, have your way. And so as we approach this text, what we see is the power of choice. They had a choice to do what they should have done or not to. But just before we get to this, I want us to look back in verses 1 through 10, just as a reference. And this particular passage, it really sets up the scene for this parable. Because in verses 1 through 10, what we see is that we're introduced to a fellow by the name of Zacchaeus. Everybody say Zacchaeus. This was a man who wanted to see Jesus. I don't want you to miss that. He wanted to see Jesus, and he would do all that he could in his power to get into a position to see Jesus. If that meant climbing a tree, he was not going to allow anything to prohibit him from seeing Jesus. Can I say this parenthetically? I pray that's our attitude, that we would do all that we can to see Jesus more clearly in our life. If we have to climb a tree, if we had to kick things over, we want to see Jesus more clearly in our life. But then watch what happens. Jesus sees him. And he begins to have an encounter with Jesus all by his own. Jesus invaded his space because it started with the right desire. I need to see Jesus for myself. And Jesus says, I will come into your world and change you. And that's exactly what he does. When Jesus invades his space, he changes his priorities. Jesus never once told him he had to deal with the sin and the money that he had. He never mentioned that. But because Jesus was in his life, Jesus convicted him of his sin and how he viewed money. Okay. And so because of his relationship with Jesus, it changed his perception and his understanding of money. At first, it was about getting money. Okay, for those who know, you know, Biggie, y'all, It's about getting money. That's how he lived his life. He was about getting money. Jesus came into his life. Now he's like, give money. Okay, y'all missed that. Nobody said amen on that one. Get money, amen. Give money. Well, let me pray about that. Let me seek the Lord's face. I said, how much, Lord? His relationship with Jesus changed his view of money. So if we want to talk about changing our view and our perception of money, it first starts with the relationship with Jesus. As your relationship goes, so does your money. So when we look at verses 11 through 27, here's three things that it reveals to us. That first of all, it's about who we are and what we have in relationship to the master. Let me say that one more time. It's about who we are and what we have in relationship with the master. If we're negligent in understanding who we are and what we have, then guess what? We're going to have poor relationship. But if we're intentional, guess what? We have good relationship. There's some differences. When we look at Matthew's account of this particular parable, write down Matthew 25. We're more familiar with that one because in that particular parable, we see that he gave them varying amounts of money. In this particular instance, I'm really fascinated because he gives them all the same amount. So let me say this parenthetically. There will be times where God will give us according to our faithfulness, so it will vary in those amounts. But then there are some gifts that are just universal. He gives us all the same. Okay? But the one common denominator is that we are going to be held accountable for how we steward what God has given us. Whether it's a little or a lot, God will still hold us accountable with what we have. Getting quiet now. But why should we care about that? I'm glad you asked. When we look at verse 13, look what happens. He says, calling 10 of his servants, watch this, and I love this, he gave them 10 minas. Calling his 10 servants, his slaves, he gave them. The first thing we need to see when we think about doing all we can is that we have been entrusted with resources. It didn't say that they earned it. It just says that he gave it. All the things that we have in this life is not because we are just good people. God has given us the ability, according to Deuteronomy, he's given us the ability to get wealth. He's blessed us with that ability. Apart from that ability, we would not have the power to get anything. The wisdom he's given us, the knowledge he's given us, is so that it's for us to use for his glory, not for our shine. So he's entrusted them with this resource because, why? He is faithful. He is good. He didn't say you have to do, watch this. He didn't give all this criteria to say you got to do this in order to get this. Sometimes God just gives us stuff because he is God and God by himself. Because if the truth is told, if God gave us according to how we behave, don't point at anybody. If God gave us according to how we lived our life pre-Jesus, we wouldn't have any of the things. But he gave it to us because he is good and gracious. At least we can say is thank you. We got two thank yous, amen. That's okay. So it's not so much about how much, it's about how it accomplishes God's plan. So what God has entrusted into us is based on the relationship. All that God has given us is based on our relationship with him. As our relationship is strengthened, God can trust us with more. As we neglect our relationship, God says, oh, God bless you. I'm going to give you what you need. But as we continue to grow in our commitment, God says, I can give you more. But it starts with the relationship. And the relationship is what matters more than anything else. Okay? So because they were in close proximity with the master, he gave to them. Okay. Did y'all catch that? Because of their proximity to the master, he gave. The closer we are to him, the more he can give to us. The further we are from him, the less we get from him. Are y'all tracking with me? So I'll notice, like with my children, you know, when they want something, they know how to stay close. You ain't got to say amen. When they really want, I mean, like Olivia, her birthday is coming up. She's been sticking close, making her request known. Daddy, you know what I would like to do, where I would like to go. Matter of fact, you say it in your words. Now she's quoting my words now. You said I can get this particular dollhouse if I made room. And I quickly reminded her, did you make room? I'm working on that, Dad. I'm working on that. Because in her heart, she wants something. And so she says, I got to strengthen and got to close the gap with my daddy. And as long as I can close the gap on my daddy, I have my daddy's ear. So she says, Daddy, it's coming up in a few weeks. When is Daddy Daughter Day? Because what she wanted was proximity. And the same applies for our God. As we close the gap, as we close that space between us and God, guess what? We have his ear. And we can tell him what we want. Now, it doesn't always mean we're going to get everything we ask for. We have to be okay with whatever he says. But here's the thing. If you don't have the proximity, if you don't have the closeness, you can't even get his ear. Are y'all tracking with me? So they were close to him. And they were entrusted with resources. But then when you look at verses 13, the rest of 13 through 14, watch this. He says, I've entrusted this into you. Now, look at his instruction. Engage in business until I come. But the citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this dude to reign over us. So when he's given us anything, I want you to hear the purpose in this. Is so that we must engage in kingdom business. So we've been entrusted with the resource, not just so that we can say we got it, but it's so that we can engage in kingdom business. Okay, it's getting quiet now, okay? What is kingdom business? What God wants to do is reach people. So go back to Luke chapter 19, verse 10. He says, the Savior came to seek and to save that which is lost. So then he starts talking about resources right after that. Okay, y'all not catching. Okay. He says, the master, the son, he came to seek and to save that which is lost. Great. Then he starts talking about money and how to steward money. Okay, y'all didn't get it over there. Okay, let's try this over here. He says, the mission of the master was to seek and to save that which is lost. Now let's talk about money. What does he say? You got to use the resources to help take care of my business. Why? It's because he says there's going to be a time when I'm not going to be there. But it does not mean you stop working. Okay. All right. So back in the day, my parents, they leave us home. The expectation, take care of business. And now I've adopted that a little bit. We write down the list. See, my wife is a little more efficient than I am. I had to write stuff down. And so I had this little whiteboard. She's like, what is this? And I had a list of things they needed to do. Because when I left the house, I expected them to engage in business when I was gone. And knowing how I was as a kid, them toys get to talking to you. This is Power Ranger. We gotta get it going. We got a mission right now. Or the video game starts speaking a whole nother language to you. All of a sudden TVs turn on all by themselves. And stay on, just stay on. And then you forget to engage in the business that's been laid before you. So when the master says, I'm getting ready to leave, but I'm leaving you with some instructions, don't get distracted by the things of this world. Because watch this, and he juxtaposes this. He says, okay, I need you to engage in kingdom business, but those who were further away from him said, we don't want him as our king anymore. Because when the king is gone, they says, good, we didn't want him anyway. Because when the king is here, he's going to give us instructions and tell us how to spend money. I'm the God of my own house. It's getting quiet now. Because for those who were his slaves, emphasis, they were his slaves, is the expectation that they had spent time with him, and even in his absence, they knew what he was supposed to do. They didn't have to send him an email or text message how to engage in business. But because they spent time with him, they understood what kind of business he was in. So as we spend time with God, it's with the expectation he's going to teach us what to do with his business. But we have to make sure that he's the king and not act like some of these renegades. He gone, y'all. Let's party, y'all. And many people have acted just like that. And so when the king leaves, the people get rebellious and they begin to resist God. But watch this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And even while there's rebellion and hostility all around them, they were still supposed to engage in business. Oh my gosh. Okay. There will be things that will be hostile in our life. There will be some things that will be difficult in our life. But that does not give us permission to stop engaging in business. Because some of us look for opportunities to stop doing God's work. Oh, it snowed today. It didn't snow. It's just, I'll see you next week, Jesus. I'll see you. I got a headache today, Jesus. That person said something sideways to me, Jesus. That person sat in my seat today, Jesus. I mean, we'll come up with any reason to not engage in God's business. So he's saying to us, there's going to be hostility. There's going to be confusion all around you. But stay engaged in the work. Okay? Don't trip. All right? So first, we've been entrusted with his business. We must engage in kingdom business. But before we raise up on out of here too quick, expect accountability. When you look at verses 15 through 27, notice the king or the nobleman, he's going to come back. And in this passage, he shows up. I want y'all to hear this. We must expect that the king is one day going to come back and he's going to hold us accountable for the things that we've been entrusted with. And that moment is not to stumble and fumble through things and try to figure out a lot. See, what happened was, Jesus, it's not time for that. He expects us to be faithful in the work that he's put before us and not come up with every excuse not to do his work. I pray there will be times we get tired. But here's the beautiful thing. Because God knows we get tired, watch what he does. He says, if you're tired, come to me, and I will give you rest. Are y'all tracking with me? He says, if you get weary, come to me, and I will give you rest. If you got a heavy load on you, come to me, and my yoke is easy, and my burdens are light. If you have issues, he says, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. So every excuse we could come up with, he has an answer. He said, just come to me. So he's saying, stop with all the excuses. Come to Jesus and stay engaged in the business. Because people need what we have. We're in that kind of business that changes people's lives. So Jesus says to Zacchaeus, he says, I came to seek and to save that. That is the business we're in. It's not to just show up in church and say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. That is not the business. The business out there in them streets. It's getting rough in here. The business is in them streets. Write that to yourself and remind yourself. The business is in the streets. But then watch what happens. So he comes to him, and I love this. We only see three people that he mentions. There were how many? Does anybody remember? There's somebody looking through the scriptures right now. Speaks. There were 10. He only calls three of them. What about the other seven? Are they not being held accountable? But the one thing that I know about Steve, sometimes we can get mired in the fray of things. The one thing that God showed me in this instance, we're not supposed to be concerned about anybody else and what they're doing. In that moment, that we, if God's given us a mission, our focus must be about doing his business. Now, we pray that people will get it. We pray that people will focus on God's mission. But let us not be fooled into thinking just because somebody else is not doing their business, that gives us license to not do our business. Okay, let me show. I remember when I was running track, and we would go out to this park back in my hometown, and it was a 7-mile route. And this is my first year of track. They didn't give us a warning that we're going to this park and running 7 miles. We get there, we're on the bus, the upperclassmen take off, and they take off running. They just gone, just phew. Like, what are they running to? Just, where are they going? And of course, our coach, I can't say all that he said in his loving way, but he gets on the bus and encourages us off the bus. Catch up to him. So we running, not realizing how far we're going, because we're running, and he's in his truck, his Jeep, and he's yelling at us the whole time. And I remember watching one of my friends finding a way to get off the course. Everything inside of me wanted to follow right along with him. Because I realized we're still running in this thing, okay? And sometimes in the race of life, sometimes we get caught up in looking at somebody else's race and what they're doing, and we forget that we need to stay in our own lane and in our own race and do all that we can, because guess what? God's not going to reward us based on somebody else's performance. He's going to reward us based on our performance. Are y'all tracking with me? So as much as somebody else may get off course, you don't get off course. Even if your body tells you to get off course. So he says to the first two, man, great job. I'm going to give you more. The first slave, you're fruitful. I'm going to give you more. The second slave, you're fruitful. I'm going to give you more. Let me give you more. The third one, he says, there's no fruit. And I love his response. I know you. I know who you are. I want you to catch that. I know who you are and how you behave. Watch this. And I only hid your money because I, quote unquote, know you. And, you know, write this down. And this may sound crazy, but I just want you to think about this for a moment. Actions in the absence of knowledge is fantasy. Actions in the absence of knowledge is fantasy, because in his world, in his fantasy, he had theology, meaning that he knew God or knew this man. But in reality, it didn't affect his behavior. Okay, bless you. The idea sometimes we can create our own world and think we really know God, that we really are sold out to God, but it's not affecting how we behave on a daily basis. Are y'all tracking with me? Some of us are functional atheists. We say we know God, but we live as though he doesn't exist. And what this brother was doing, he says, I know you, but I'm going to live as though you don't exist. Because when you really have a relationship with the master, it affects how you behave with things. Are y'all tracking with me? And for this brother, he thought he knew him. Until his fantasy was destroyed. When he showed, he says, if you really knew me, then you would at least put the money in the bank. If you really knew me. And the Lord's going to show up in some of our life. And he's going to say to us, if you really knew me, you would have done this. So as we engage God, it's with the expectation he's going to give us the knowledge and the wisdom that we need. So we stay engaged in his business. Are y'all tracking with me? So our relationship changes everything about us. Yes, we're talking about money, but it changes much more than just about our view on money. It changes us, period. Amen? And I want you to bow for a moment, because as we talked about this yesterday in our table discussions, there's always a danger in us creating our own fantasies. And the danger in creating our own fantasies is that we become the God. We create things, we recreate things to suit our desires, to make us feel important, to make us feel like we're somebody. And sometimes it causes us to not be real in the real world. And what the Spirit revealed to me is that you have to be very careful in shifting these fantasies from one thing to the next thing to the next thing and miss God in all of it. And I want you to just be very frank with the Lord in this moment. Just be honest with him. Lord God, am I living in a fantasy? Or better yet, where am I living in a fantasy? Am I coming to church because of the fantasy? Am I serving the Lord out of a fantasy? Or am I being real with you and seeking you and serving you with a whole heart? And I want you just to talk to the Lord just right there so that none of us will miss God. I don't want any of us to miss God. Thank you, Lord. And ask the Holy Spirit to speak and to reveal to you where you've been living in a fantasy. You don't want to be like this unfaithful servant. You don't want to say, I know you, but don't live like it. God, we thank you for being the one who knows us and exposes us. God, we admit that some of us have lived in this fantasy world where we made everything about us and what we want and what we desire. God, help us to not live in this world any longer. Help us to understand that you will hold us accountable for the things you have entrusted us with. The knowledge, the wisdom, the resources, God, all the things you have given to us. God, you will hold us accountable. God, help us to be a kingdom-focused church family, starting with us individually, Lord. God, may we live a life, God, that's about pursuing and seeking the kingdom of God first, and then allowing everything else to be added to us. God, forgive us, God, when we've pursued other things more than pursuing you, Lord. God, help us to live as though, God, we know that you're coming back again. That we would live with a sense of urgency, God. God, that we would expand your kingdom so that we would be in them streets, Lord, telling people about our Lord and Savior. Just as much as he came to seek and to save that which is lost, God, may that be our priority. God, may we not veer off into finding an easy path, or, God, that we get off track, God, by trying to do things that make us feel good. God, may we stay laser focused on you and your work, God, that you've called us to. And, God, we believe that you will sustain us and add to us, Lord, as we remain faithful to you, Lord. So, Father, I pray right now for that person who's still questioning their commitment to you, Lord. They're uncertain, God, about just how things are supposed to be happening in their life, but because they made themselves, God, they can't see you clearly. Just as much as you penetrate Zacchaeus' life, God, would you penetrate their life right now, Lord? God, would you arrest their attention? Would you arrest their mind, Lord, so that they would see all of you and none of themselves, Lord? God, would you change their life? May they call on your name. Father, we pray for the person who may have gone adrift in their walk with you, Lord. God, they've been like many of us, God, when we've set our eyes on other things rather than setting our eyes on you, God, we just gotten distracted. And God, we've missed you. Father, would you speak to them right now? That even in their time of drifting, God, you have not abandoned them. God, you have not turned your back on them, God. And yet, God, you still have a plan for them. So, Lord, would you speak to their heart? Would you penetrate their minds right now and let them know, God, that you love them? God, that it doesn't matter the length of time they drifted, God. God, you can reclaim anybody at any time. God, we are witnesses of that, God. God, we thank you for being that kind of God. And God, it's our prayer for those, God, who's searching for a church home or church family. so that when they find themselves drifting or they find themselves being overworked and burdened down, God, that they would find a safe place, God, for people to pray with them and pray for them. God, would you speak to their hearts? Whatever questions they may have, God, would you speak right now, Lord? And God, we give you praise for that. Now, church, as we're praying for those persons who's wrestling with decisions right now. There may be issues in your life, or you just may simply want somebody to pray with you. Whatever it is, if you're saying, I need to trust Jesus for the very first time, or I need to reclaim my life. I need to get right back with Jesus today. I admit I've backslidden. I admit I drifted from him, but today I want to get this thing right. I don't want to be guilty of missing God, but I want to be guilty of being moved by God. And if the Lord is speaking to your heart, I just want you to raise your hand right where you are. You say, hey, I need Jesus for the very first time. I need to recommit myself to Jesus, or I just need a church family. Wherever you are, just raise your hand. Or you say, hey, I need prayer. Just pray for me. Amen. Thank you for raising your hand. Thank you for raising your hand. Church, we're praying. We're praying. Because you don't know what the person next to you is standing in need of. You don't know what questions they're battling. They want to be faithful, but there are other things that's trying to get their attention. And you're saying, God, can you move this right now? God, I want to see you more clearly. I don't want to miss you in my life. God is still moving. God is still saving. God is still changing. God is still answering prayers. Hallelujah, God. And I just got to stay right here. If you just need prayer for whatever's going on in your world, would you just raise your hand one more time? And if somebody's next to that person, would you just kind of just reach your arm around them and just pray for them right then? Just hold your hand up. If you just need prayer, just amen. Thank you. Thank you. Those who are sitting around, those who raise a hand, make sure you move close to them and just begin to pray with them. We've got some hands that are still up. We need some people to stand in agreement with them. Amen. God is greater. 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 God, we thank you. God, we thank you for the hands that were raised. God, you made them. God, you know all about them. God, you know what keeps them up at night. God, you know what causes them to be restless in their soul. God, you know the worries that they carry. God, we thank you for answering us, God, before we open our mouth. So for the hands that were raised, God, God, you've already answered before they raised their hands. God, we thank you for being near us in every season of life, God. Thank you for being with us in the good days. Thank you for being with us in the dark. God, thank you for being with us, Lord. God, we lift those up that raise their hands right now, God. God, that you move in their life. God, that you would make yourself so known to them, God, that you become completely irresistible to them. God, that as they draw near to you, Lord, God, you would meet every need. And just the fact that they raise their hand in faith and expectation, God, we're standing with them, Lord. God, that that prayer will be answered. In the name of Jesus. God, I pray that they will resist the temptation and trust the lies of the enemy. God, they are worth something. They are valuable. They are your child. God, I pray that they will completely surrender to you today. And Father, however you want to use them, may it be well with their soul. God, it's not by accident that they're here today. But they're here because you've assigned and appointed this day for them to meet you here. But that their life would be changed as a result of their encounter with you today. So Lord, would you reshape them? Would you mold them into your image? God, we magnify you. And God, we look forward to hearing the testimonies of what you have done in their life, the prayers that you have answered. God, we bless you. And God, we stand with them. I pray that this week would be a week unlike anything else, Lord. God, that they would have a new and refreshing experience with you, Lord. God, that you would ignite something on the inside of them. That they would begin to hunger for you and thirst for you more than they have been before. It doesn't matter what happened in the past. It doesn't matter. What matters is this day forward, that they made their mind up to seek you out and to search for you. And God, you said that as they do that, God, you will show up every time. Because God, in you there's no lack. In you there's total sufficiency. And God, we bless you. God, we love you. God, we thank you for your spirit ministering to our hearts today. Help us to do all that we can with what you have entrusted us with. Help us to stay in our own lane, God, and run in our own race. Let's not be distracted by what others do, God. Let's not be distracted by hostility. But God, let us be focused on you and your mission, that we might see your kingdom expand because we have been faithful. God, because we've been faithful. God, we love you. And we thank you. In Jesus' name. And every heart said, amen. Amen.